Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. The two passages that will serve as the basis for our meditation tonight, the first comes from St. James chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. The second is from Romans chapter 1, verse 25. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. You know, it was really interesting. As I was looking at the commandments, I noticed something that I really never kind of got before, and that's kind of how the Holy Spirit works. I don't know about you, but have you ever read the Bible in a passage, and all of a sudden you'll go back and you'll read the passage again a day or two later, and you'll notice something that you didn't notice before? That's kind of because God's Word is living and active, and that's kind of how it's supposed to work. That's Jesus at work, right? The Holy Spirit. So one of the things I noticed is that when we look at the first and second commandment, they are really very much alike. They're both talking about God and honoring God and not misusing His name and not misusing God and putting Him first. But the difference is, here's the key difference. Even though they're very similar, the key difference is the first commandment deals inwardly with our relationship with God. We're not going to have any other gods. It's our inward relationship. The second commandment deals outwardly with our relationship with God. How we deal outwardly with God and His name and who He is. And so tonight we're going to look at that outward part of that relationship, the outward relationship or outward aspect that we have with God. So I'm going to ask a good question right now. Are you ready? The question's on the screen. Here we go. And you do have permission to participate and answer, please. If you do not, this sermon will take forever. That's a threat, not a promise. No, I'm just joking. What does everyone think of when we say, don't misuse God's name or don't take it in vain? What does everyone think of? Cursing in His name. The GD word, right? Yeah, that's what everybody thinks, right? Or the OMG, oh my God, right? I was standing in line one time behind a lady at Target, and this was when I was in seminary, and I was brave, more brave than I am now, and or at least I thought I knew everything, and I realized I didn't know anything. But anyways, she said, oh my God, I forgot my purse. And I said, do you know him? And she looked at me and said, do you know him who? I said, well, you used his name. Do you know him? And to that, with the look I got, I realized I should shut my mouth and pay for what I bought and be done. But yeah, we do it all the time. How many times, I see kids doing it and texting all the time nowadays. OMG, oh my God. And you know, we think about that and it sounds so harmless, right? I mean, we really aren't really meaning anything behind it, and it's not like where you said GD, you know, the reality. But the reality is it is misusing God's name. It's disrespectful. I don't like my name disrespected. Let me tell you what happened to me today. You want to know what happened to me today? My name was disrespected. Okay, so the Lutheran Witness comes out, right? And then there's the section in there, you know, about all the good church stuff. And it has a picture of all of our 17 members that joined. And under it, it says Reverend Thomas Pittock. Well, that's my dad's name, first of all. That's not my name. And he was no reverend. So they used my name in vain. They misused it, you see. I didn't like it. And I don't want people to make fun of my name. I don't want people to use my name wrongly. And so you think about, well, do I really want to use God's name wrongly? It's so easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy to say, oh God. Oh my God. Oh gosh. Which is just a simple way of getting away with it. Just like in Texas, when you want to talk about somebody bad, you can be okay and say, God bless their heart, and then it's good, right? So, oh my gosh is like that. You're just getting away with that. See, the reality is, God is very clear in this commandment. And it's interesting that this commandment is one of the few commandments that exists where God actually, in Scripture, talks about the positive way or the opposite way of living with this commandment. Specifically, He wants His name to be used for good. Luther talks about that in the explanation of this commandment. God wants His name to be used for good. He wants his name to be used for praise and prayer and thanksgiving. He wants his name to be used in declaring it to other people. He wants his name to be used in a positive way that brings him glory and honor and praise in our outward relationship with him. What do you think another person thinks if they know you're a Christian and you're misusing his name? I've never thought of that before. That just came to my mind. What do you think other people think? Because, you know, we are walking billboards for the faith. And sometimes my billboard isn't the best billboard there is out there. Yeah, right. So that's something to think about. But there's something else that grabs us in this commandment. And perhaps it's the greatest sin that we commit with this commandment. Not that there's a sin any greater than others, but it sounds profound for me to say the greatest sin that we commit with this commandment. It sounds profound. Is twofold. One, failing at using our words and our lives to love God, to love others as God does. Right? I mean, think about it for a minute. Failing to use our words and our lives to love others the way God does. James talks about that. With the very same tongue, we'll say praise God, and the next sentence we'll curse. St. James talks about, and we'll talk about this more when we get to other commandments, but he talks about the tongue being the deadliest weapon in the world, how we destroy people with our tongue. And this is important because the next point is important. Failing to live a life where God's name, his name, has literally been placed on us. Now think about this for a second. What happens in baptism? You're good Lutherans. What happens in baptism? We become children of God. Yes. What, David? And he places his name on us. He says, you're mine, right? His very name is placed on us. Now, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? I mean, think about that for a moment. That is really awesome that God's name is placed on us. We, when God sees us, he sees Jesus because Jesus' name is on us. Now, that is really awesome, isn't it? But what happens when we fail to live in this world as God would have us to live with his name placed on us? We misuse his name. We take it in vain. Luther, in some of his writings, talks about this very fact, that the very fact is if we dishonor the second commandment, we're automatically breaking the first. Because we're not putting God first in our lives. See, the reality is when we go out into this world, when we go out into our communities and our workplaces and our schools, who do we want people to see? Well, I don't want them to see Reverend Thomas Pittock, that's for sure. But I want them to see Jesus. I want them to get to know Jesus. I want them to get to know love and forgiveness and compassion and kindness. And every time I fail at doing that, I'm misusing God's name because his name is on me. Do you see what I'm talking about? Do you understand that? And that's a harsh reality to come to. Because I tell you what, I'm really bad at loving God with my whole heart and life. I'm really bad at being Jesus to the world around me all the time. I'm really bad at being the nice and most loving and compassionate person that I can be all the time. I fail miserably. You fail miserably. And we dishonor the second commandment. But, there's always a but. That's what I love, right? But, because the name of Jesus has been placed on us, when God looks at us, he does not see our sinfulness. He sees Jesus. When God looks at us, he sees us as redeemed and loved children. He sees our sins and knows that they have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. I had a professor in seminary who once said, when Jesus died on the cross and went into the tomb, that's the place where he took our sins and he stuffed them inside that empty tomb. And that's the only place God promises, the Father promises never to look, so he doesn't see our sinfulness anymore. See, that's the great news about having God's name on us. That's the great news about being marked with the sign of the cross on our forehead and upon our heart that marks us as Jesus. The great news is we are forgiven, we are loved, and we are redeemed. With the very same compassion, kindness, love, and forgiveness that Christ wants us to carry into the world, even greater than that, he lavishes upon us. So that when we fail at his commandments, when we break these commandments, when we fail to uphold them and live by them, which we all do, we know with confidence we can stand and say, Lord, I love you. I am sorry. And before we can utter the words, please forgive me, we are already forgiven because of our baptism. And the Holy Spirit continues to work in our lives. And what do you think he's doing? Helping us to live out the commandments. Helping us to love others. Helping us to grow in our faith. Helping us to be the presence of Jesus to the world around us. So when we look at this commandment, we remember that this is our outward relationship with God. Our inward relationship is, don't have any other God. The outward relationship is, don't misuse the name that I placed on you, the name that I've given you, child of God, redeemed and loved. In Jesus' name, amen.